Hello, Podcast 360 listeners. I'm your moderator, Amanda Balby, with Consultant 360. With me today is Kevin Stewart, who is the Director of Environmental Health at the American Lung Association of the Mid-Atlantic. He will be speaking with us today about National Radon Action Month and what that means for practitioners. Thank you for joining us today, Kevin.
I'm honored to be here, and thanks very much for the opportunity.
So can you start by telling us what is radon and why is the American Lung Association concerned about it?
Well, radon is a radioactive gas. It comes out of rocks and soil under and around building foundations. The American Lung Association is concerned about it because it's the second leading cause of lung cancer. And lung cancer is the one cancer killer of both men and women. We know that January is a time when people make New Year's resolutions to do things that will improve their lives and their health. And in addition, of course, to quitting smoking, testing for radon and fixing high levels of this gas are simple things people can do to lower their risk of lung cancer. And that's why January is National Radon Action Month. And that's why the Lung Association encourages medical professionals to encourage their patients to take simple steps to understand and reduce their exposure to radon.
And how does radon get inside buildings?
Well, radon originates in the ground. There's some uranium present pretty much everywhere in lower or higher amounts. And uranium is a radioactive element that gradually decays into other radioactive atoms. And after a long chain of those decays, radon is formed. All the elements leading up to radon are solids, but unlike them, radon is a gas that can escape from the ground. And any building with rooms in contact with the ground can provide many pathways for radon to get into it. And these pathways could be cracks, joints, around utility entry points, even open soil, and especially during the heating season. Buildings tend to draw radon in even more, and when it's circulated throughout the air indoors. I emphasize, radon can come into buildings without basements, and even though it enters a building on the lowest level, it doesn't stay only on that level. We often talk about radon in homes, too, but it can enter schools, workplaces, businesses, and so on. In fact, there's some radon present practically everywhere on Earth, even outdoors. And while outdoor amounts are usually very low, if the amount indoors is high, then that's when we're especially concerned.
And how does radon cause lung cancer?
Well, once radon is formed, it's radioactive. It doesn't stay a gas. Radon decays into other atoms that may become part of microscopic solid particles. Then when we breathe in those particles, they often stick to the airways inside the lungs. And unfortunately, those atoms, called radon progeny, are themselves radioactive. And it's when they decay that they send high-energy alpha particles into the living lung tissue that lines the airways. And those particles can damage the DNA in the cells in several ways. And over time, mutations that lead to lung cancer can occur.
How serious a problem is radon in the United States?
Oh, it's very serious. Although radon is invisible and odorless, you can't sense your exposure. And although it causes no immediate symptoms, radon still is the silent killer of about 21,000 people every year in the United States. We estimate that about 1 in 7 lung cancer deaths is radon-related. And lung cancer caused by smoking is such a huge thing that the risk from radon is often overlooked in comparison. But if radon-induced lung cancer in the United States were regarded as its own separate category, it would be ranked as one of our top 10 causes of cancer death. And among all environmental causes of death from cancer, radon ranks as number one.
If smoking is the number one cause of lung cancer, what should healthcare providers know about radon?
The things that healthcare providers most need to know here are the following. First, almost all lung cancer is preventable. Of course, we should all continue working to prevent nicotine addiction and tobacco use. And there are well-tested ways with improving reliability to quit smoking and other nicotine use. And in addition, many persons at high risk are eligible for special screening. And radon, is easy to test for, and if radon is high indoors, this is a problem that has a simple solution. But healthcare providers also need to understand that the combined effects of radon and smoking are synergistic. On top of the base rate of lung cancer incidence from smoking, radon can multiply the risk considerably. And as a result, most radon-related lung cancer occurs in people who also have a history of cigarette smoking. This also means that over time, eliminating or greatly reducing either risk factor, preferably both, will substantially reduce lung cancer risk below what it otherwise would have been. In short, far from it posing a risk only for never smokers, radon exposure is an even more serious risk for current and former smokers and should be handled as such.
What should medical professionals know about the science on radon and its health impact?
Radon's risk is the result of protracted exposure, typically over many years, to radon progeny. And although the EPA has set an amount of 4 picocuries of radon per liter of air as an action level, both EPA, the World Health Organization, and many other respected scientific and medical groups recognize that there is no known safe level of radon, and therefore reducing radon levels down to even less than 2 picocuries per liter may provide some health benefit. Intensive scientific work on the health effects of radon has been undertaken for over half a century. In fact, radon is one of the most comprehensively investigated human carcinogens. And even more, compared to 30 years ago, when the Environmental Protection Agency first advised everyone to test for radon and to repair buildings with high levels, the scientific foundation for that advice has grown much, much stronger. Multiple lines of inquiry, ranging from molecular and cellular biology, to animal studies, to ongoing longitudinal cohort studies of radon-exposed miners, and most recently, culminating in pooled analyses based on over 20 case-control epidemiological studies among residential populations. All those things together have substantially confirmed our original understanding of radon risks and are in close agreement.
And what do healthcare providers need to know about testing and fixing homes and other buildings for radon?
Well, while some familiarity with how buildings are tested for radon and fixed can be good to have, I mean, healthcare providers have lots of things to do, and they don't have to be experts on those kinds of things themselves. There are lots of resources available on those subjects. There are even 2 major national certification programs that accredit professional radon laboratories, testing firms, and mitigation or repair services. A good place for people to start is the EPA's website at epa.gov/radon. There are many links there that will answer most patients' questions, and most states provide help via an office or hotline that can provide information and sometimes other services to the public. EPA's site includes links for most states.
But what specific things can healthcare providers do to prevent radon-induced lung cancer?
Well, in addition to healthcare providers directing their patients to those resources I just named, and doing everything possible to encourage a tobacco-free lifestyle, healthcare providers should do a number of things. They should specifically ask all patients whether they've tested for radon, inform them of the health risk, advise them to fix high levels. And they should add questions like these, have you tested? What was the result? If high, have you fixed? To the routine medical record questionnaire. They should work with the CDC-funded cancer control programs in their own states, recommend that patients with a high-risk smoking history undertake annual low-dose CT screening in accordance with the official guidelines, and use those eligibility interviews also to inform patients about radon. And of course, spread the word among the other healthcare providers. Not everyone knows about this, and we want the word to get out.
So where can people go to find more information?
For more information on smoking, lung cancer screening, radon, lung health in general, I always advise people to go to the American Lung Association's website, lung.org, or people can call 1-800-LUNG-USA. And that's 1-800-586-4872. That can put people in touch with our national helpline, where people are standing by to help answer questions about lung health. And for other helpful advice, such as how to get information about radon programs in their own states, we also advise that people go to epa.gov/radon, or also call 1-800-SOS-RADON, and that's 1-800-767-7236.
Great. Thank you again for speaking with us, and we really appreciate your input.
Well, thanks, Amanda. It's been my pleasure, and thanks for the chance to talk about radon.